aware of what that is. It is an ancient summary of what Christians believe. It goes back to the early centuries of the church, and we've been going through it every single week for quite a long time now. I can't remember when we started. Was it September? And it goes something like this. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, was born on the Virgin Mary, was crucified, died, and was buried. And he descended to the dead. And on the third day, he rose again. And he ascended to heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, from which he will come to judge the living and the dead. So that's what we've looked at so far. And there's a lot there, isn't there? That is the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first paragraph is about God the Father who created us. God the Father Almighty. That's the first paragraph. The second paragraph is about God the Son who rescued us. And the third and final paragraph, which I'm beginning tonight, is about the Holy Spirit. So the third paragraph begins with the words, and I believe in the Holy Spirit. So the structure of the creed starts with, I believe in God the Father Almighty, then I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord. And the third paragraph is, I believe in the Holy Spirit. So the take-home message tonight is, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? The word believe isn't just, I believe he exists, but I rely on him. I trust in him. I depend upon him every single day. And what I'd like to do this evening is to have two parts. As I looked into this week, I realized that there was a sense that I needed to explain a little bit about who the Holy Spirit is, because perhaps there may be people here tonight who don't really understand about who the Holy Spirit is. And then if I was going to go into the second part and talk about the practical difference he makes, then I would be doing you a disservice, because you really need to know the first part. In terms of the second part, the practical bit, I've only chosen one small aspect of what the Holy Spirit does, which is to transform us into the likeness of God. But before that, I just want to speak about who the Holy Spirit is. Well, there's another creed which comes from 325 AD, and it's the really famous one, which is the Nicene Creed. And when they got to the Nicene Creed, they thought, I believe in the Holy Spirit. I think we need to say a little bit more, you know, because the Father is, there's a whole paragraph about the Father, and then there's a whole paragraph about the Son, and then I believe in the Holy Spirit. Surely there's more we can say. And so this next creed says, I believe in the Holy Spirit. He is the Lord, and he's the giver of life. Now, if you want to just tag on to things that I say tonight, that's a really good one to tag on to. Who is the Holy Spirit? He's the giver of life. He gives life. So if you sort of forget other things, don't forget that bit, because that's absolutely vital. He's the Lord, he's the giver of life. It says, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. That means he was sent by the Father and the Son. And the next bit is really important. Who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. So the Holy Spirit is worshipped. So we are worshipping God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, when I was a little boy, I had to answer questions in Sunday school, and I didn't really do my homework that often, if I'm honest. But I was looking back on this shorter catechism this week, and there's two questions. I think it's right at the beginning, and it says, who is God? I remembered this one. This is one of the only ones that I remembered. It says, God is a spirit, infinite and eternal and unchangeable, in his being, in his wisdom, in his power, in his holiness, in his justice, in his goodness, and in his truth. I've said lots of things about not only who God is, but what he's like. And that's really crucial for the second half later on tonight. Not only who God is, but what's he like? And who are we and what are we going to be like? Isn't it the fact that today we're in a world of identity crisis? People are confused about identity. It's the big issue of the day. Just look at the American election. What is it about? It's about identity politics. It's the massive issues in Western culture. Who are we? I don't need to expand on that. I think you know that. But if we want to know who we are, do we look within or do we look somewhere else? Here's a revolutionary thought for you. If you want to know who you are, the person to look to is God. So you could go to a counselor and say, I just want to find myself. I don't know who I am. And spend lots of time looking within. But unless we look to God, we will not discover who we are, because we are made in the image of God. There's a famous Christian called John Calvin, and that is the first thing he said in his famous book, The Institutes of the Christian Religion, page 1. And it's still very relevant today. So the question I was asked as a little boy, who is God? And then the sub-question was, are there more gods than one? Because this Trinity thing's pretty confusing, isn't it? Some of you tonight are going, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, is that three gods? Are there more gods than one? And the answer is, there is but one only, the living and true God. So if there's only one God, how many persons are there in the Godhead? And the answer is there are three persons in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power, and in glory. You know, perhaps you go along to church and you think, I just didn't really take anything in tonight. It's way over my head, or what was he on about? That's what I was like in Sunday school when I was a kid. But you know, phrases like equal in substance and power and glory, that went in when I was about 7 or 8 years old. I didn't really understand it at the time, but later on, it helped me to understand who God is. And one of the works of the Holy Spirit is to remind us of things that we've heard about God in the past. In John's Gospel, Jesus said, the Spirit will remind you of things I have taught you in the past. So if you put into your reservoir truth, even if you don't understand it exactly the time you hear it, if it goes in, it will then come out, perhaps in answer to a question you'll have later. So that's who God is. What about, what does God do? Well, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit are in this relationship of perfect love. There's this love between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. The reason why it says in the Bible, in Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone. Loneliness is one of the greatest problems. Why is that? It's because God is not alone. God is a community of three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And He made us in His image. And when He created us, when He created Adam, the first thing He said was, it's not good for Adam to be alone. Because Father, Son, and Spirit are not alone. But the Father, Son, and the Spirit, although they share the same nature, they are different persons and they have different roles. So there's a unity about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and there's distinct things that they do differently. So if we think about this great work of rescue, this great work of salvation, this great work of not only creating the world, but when the world rebelled against God, of rescuing the world through Jesus Christ. How does God in three persons divide up the jobs, if you like? Well, first of all, the Father is the one who sends the Son. For God so loved the world that He sent His only Son. It was the Father who sent the Son. The Father is also the creator, the origin of life. So that's what the Father does. He sends. What does the Son do? The Son obediently comes to us. He dies on a cross and risen from the dead. So what then does the Holy Spirit do? Well, the Holy Spirit completes the work. If you read Acts chapter 2, you'll see that on the day of Pentecost, it's when the Spirit came that the people were saved. There is no salvation without the Holy Spirit. And that's why if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you are not saved. There's other things I could say about the Spirit, but I'm trying to keep it simple tonight. The Holy Spirit is equal in substance, in power, and glory to the Father and the Son, and together with the Father and Son is to be worshipped and glorified. So we see in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. It was a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. And then Ephesians 4:30, it says, and do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. So I'm just winding up this first part now, but I just want to give you that these sort of headlines, and we're going to have to look into a bit more detail on other weeks. But the Holy Spirit, first thing He does is He He brings us to life. Remember, he's the Lord, the giver of life. Do you remember what Jesus said to Nicodemus? You must be born again by the Spirit. And when someone trusts in Christ, the Holy Spirit comes and lives within them and brings them to life, from spiritual death to spiritual life. It is a new creation. It's the Holy Spirit. The technical word is regeneration. The Holy Spirit makes us born again. The next thing the Holy Spirit does is he seals us. That's like he says, you belong to me. The Holy Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. You belong to me. He seals us, the seal of ownership. And what we're going to go on and just look at briefly as a practical outworking is he then makes us holy, because he's the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit comes to reside in us, let us remember that he is a Holy Spirit, and therefore his main burden and priority, agenda, his goal, his passion is to make us holy. Not only to tell us we belong to God, not only to tell us we have this wonderful, glorious future, but to say, you were made in God's image. And I'm here to change you. And then the challenge for us is, do we believe in the Holy Spirit? If we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, then we're saying, I trust the Holy Spirit. I trust that the Holy Spirit has got a better plan for my life than my plan. And I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do whatever he wants to do with my life, because he is the Lord. And he's the giver of life. And Jesus said that you will have life to the full. And that life to the full is not a future thing alone. It's a present thing. It comes now. So it's only as we are willing to be led by the Spirit that we can enter into all the potential. If you think of an acorn, I wish that Martin Bull was here. Martin, if you're watching tonight, maybe you can let me know if this is true. But I heard this in my research, that within an acorn, there is infinite potential. That the seeds within an acorn have an infinite potential to populate the world with the species of tree, which is within the acorn. And it is the same when the Holy Spirit dwells within us, when we put our faith and trust in Christ. There is an infinite potential of growth in our lives. It's all there already. And we simply have to allow God to be God. I would like us to listen now to respond in worship. And this song is Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. And it's about the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Let's enjoy the Spirit, the Father, and the Son being praised. Let's praise him in our hearts, if not with our voices. And then Duncan's going to read to us after that. And let us listen. Thank you.